What's someone trying to say together, Father? In the name of your Son, Jesus. In this service, we ask and receive revelation knowledge that is found in Christ alone. There is no error or contradiction in this atmosphere. We have precision, accuracy, and clarity in the knowledge of Jesus. Together, we behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified, and we are edified. Amen. All right, in the first service, we began to look at how to be in church, or how to go to church, how to behave in church. Matthew's Gospel 28. Everything about the Christian faith should be explained. Because sometimes you can assume you know what you don't know. Assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. You must not assume. Sometimes I meet people who say things that they assume I said. And I also asked them, I said, did you hear me? Well, I didn't hear you, but I felt because you said, you know, that's a low level of knowledge. You should know exactly what was said in the Word of God. Now, in Matthew's Gospel 28, and we're seeing from verse 18, Jesus came and said unto them, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, which is the word exousia there. King James will say power. Then he says, go therefore and teach all nations. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Verse 20, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we know that verse of scripture is reportedly the last words that Jesus used, the last things that he said. Mark says he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's Mark 16:15. Luke 24:47 says, repentance and remission of sins we preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, closely, if you observe, that verse 19 says, teach all nations, which is where we have make disciples. The word matheteuo, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, is a process of training people, the way you enlist into a college, into a school. So, there's a difference between joining a social club and being in a church. We saw a bit of that in the first service. We'll just expand that a bit now. And so we said, making disciples will have nothing to do with your career. We said, there was a man, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man and a ruler of the Jews. Had his career, he was a well-to-do person. But the Bible says that he became a student. In Matthew's Gospel 27 and 67, he became a student. He was learning. And we also had people like Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, who also was in the background a disciple of Christ. I would say it means that they became in spite of what they were. So it's like a conversion process where, yes, your career still remains what it is, your age remains what it is, but you have become a student. You start to learn new things. So at that point, your experience is not useful. You don't go to school to teach them your experience. You go to school to acquire new experiences. Alright, so, and then we also pointed out that the disciples of Jesus were obviously very young and unlettered in the Jewish customs. According to Acts 4:13, they were very young people. Historically, some of them were teenagers. Yet, they were the ones chosen to disciple elderly ones. So it has nothing to do with the age. If you get born again, we said what happens after is discipleship. You start getting trained. So it's vital to understand that. So we picked out a very important story, and that's in Luke's Gospel 10, verse 38 to 42. That was in the first service. And we saw in the house of Mary, we had, Martha, we had Mary the sister. Martha obviously was the elder one, the older one. And so we found a phrase there about Martha, that she also sat at the feet of Jesus. And we said the phrase, sat at the feet, is not a one-off. We said it doesn't mean to literally sit at someone's legs or feet. No, it actually means to be enrolled in training. In other words, that means that Mary was a student of Jesus. And we said there was a distinction. There is a distinction between those who hear the word. They come for services, they come for meetings, they enjoy according to them, and then they go. That's different from those who sit at his feet. Those who sit at the feet are those who are brought up. They are trained and they are disciples. We saw that in Acts 22 verse 3, Paul and Gamaliel. Now, we did all that in the first service. And we said it's definitely not possible to be a disciple or to follow the Matthew 28:19 instruction without meetings. We picked out the fact that Jesus himself taught his disciples in places. He didn't teach them individually. He didn't go to see them personally. He even instructed them where to be. So, if we have the church, we picked out the word church, that there's the church, the body of Christ, everyone who is born again is in the church. And then we said, within that also we now have church meetings, it's also called church, where you come together. You cannot represent the body of Christ well if you don't belong to an assembly of saints. The assembly of saints is the second most important thing after salvation. You're born again, now be an assembly of saints where the discipleship takes place. And we said, those things, the assembly of saints can be called meetings, church meetings. That's what we have here, for example, at number 608 Street, Yaba. That's what we're having is a church meeting. We are the church with the body of Christ. We're having a church meeting, but that meeting is also called church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. That is church meetings. Behave yourself in the house of God. Some folks will erroneously say, we are the house of God. We are the house. You don't go to the house of God. We are the house of God. We are the church of God. You know, and sometimes they pick that out of context. Do you understand? They pick it out of context. There's a context by which we are the church. There's a context by which we go to the church. When we attend meetings, what we're doing is that we're having church. So, we said, therefore, there are different kinds of meetings. To be a faithful believer involves and includes being a good and faithful attendee or participant in church meetings. Look at what I said. Faithful, all right? Faithful participant. Now, let's examine a few things that we left off in the first service. We said there are different kinds of meetings that the church will have. Different kinds of meetings. We said the primary meeting is the teaching meeting. So, we said by saying, make disciples of every nation, Matthew 28:19, then it says teaching them didasco. Didasco is from where you have didaskalos, teacher, and didaskalia, doctrine, and didache, explanation. So the very act of teaching done by teachers with the doctrine of the word is the focal point of the gospel. That is, the gospel is given its full expression in the teaching ministry. There cannot be discipleship without teaching. And if we are all made to be disciples, that means we all must be taught. So the moment you see someone say, I'm not a teacher, he's not yet a minister of the gospel. A minister of the gospel must be a disciple. He must be someone who can teach. And that's explain, instruct, okay, and bring people up in the word. So we said that's the primary thing. And we also pointed out that Jesus spent Acts 1:3 40 days teaching the things of the kingdom for 40 days. Now, did he do it individually to the disciples or collectively? Collectively. Thank God for individual discipleship, where you meet people, then you begin to instruct them, and then teach them personally. But you see, you can't get the best till you put them in the assembly of saints. Always find a place for believers to attend, where they'll go to. It's not just a question of sending materials to the person, oh, Living Word Media, go on Living Word Media, or go off on Living Word Media, or something. No, no, no. Let the person have a church where the Word of God is taught and where believers are there. We said in the first service, participating in the assembly of saints is not an option. It's what? An instruction. It's not an option. It's not like when you feel like, no. The instruction to pray is as grave as instruction to be in church meetings. I know we are in very funny days, interesting days, sorry, where we now have access to technology. You have live streaming. And I know the churches are eager, you know, to not to lose the audience of what you call the generation. Is it X or Y we are in now? X or Y? We're X. Okay. No, it's Y, oh. X was before, it's now Y. Okay? And then they call it the, there's another name. Woke or something. Woke. There's another name like that. There's another one someone told me recently. So, you know, and they like mobile phones. Everything must be on mobile phone. People now get, they even get married on mobile phones. The only thing left is to have children by mobile phones. But it can happen. You know, they code, they do all sorts of things. They do Snapchat. The guy that invented Snapchat just made $20 billion 2 weeks ago or so. So I think that's what I heard, yeah. So you know, say, how do we... So gradually, we might be reinventing the scriptures. You know, you get that. We might be reinventing the scriptures. Because you just say, well, what is important is that the word of God is preached. That's what is important. It's not about gathering, you see. It's not about, we cannot just be taking those things literally. Very soon, the Spirit of God will be a figure of speech to you. Be acting like that. Okay? So, there cannot be discipleship without gathering. An assembly required. An assembly is required. It must be in a place. And so we saw two words, Acts 2:1, or Acts 1:15 first, in one accord. Remember that? Remember that? In one accord, Acts 1:14, in one accord, Acts 2:1, in one accord, Acts 4:24, in one accord. And we said the word one accord is in one place. It has to be in a place. In one accord. We'll explore that later. So, there's teaching, primarily, where we come and we are taught. So, when you are going to church, what must be the first thing on your mind? To be taught. If you are also a pastor or a leader, the first thing on your mind? To teach. And teaching need not just be some intense Bible study alone. That instruction to pray is part of teaching. So, when you go to church, you are going to learn and be instructed. The second thing we said, second kind of meetings we have, they are prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. In fact, in Mark 11:17, Jesus called his house, the Father's house, a house of prayer. If you check the life of Jesus, right from John's baptism, recorded, up till his crucifixion, he lived a life of prayer. You can't have a church and not be a house of prayer. So if you go to a church where you don't pray, you are not yet in the church of Christ. You have to pray. I'm not saying breakthrough prayers. I'm not saying prayer for those who are looking for job. No. I'm saying prayers. Praise the Lord. Prayers and petition, where we fellowship around God's will in the place of prayer. And we saw that in the first step. I said, when Jesus took his disciples to the mountain apart to pray, did he give them any prayer points? What will make all believers pray the same way? And there were rich people among them. They were poor among them, but they were praying the same thing. So, two, prayer meetings. So, you are not attending church well if you don't go there to learn, if you don't go there to pray. A New Testament church doesn't need a prayer department. A New Testament church is where everybody prays. Evangelism. Same thing. So one, we teach. Two, we pray. Three, meetings where we go out to reach the unsaved. Call it evangelistic meetings. We go out to reach the unsaved. In Luke 10, verse 1, Jesus took 70 people, he sent them out. Luke 9, 1, 12 people, he sent them out. Matthew 10, verse 1, he sent them out, 12 people. In Mark 16, 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts 1, 8, witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost part of the earth. Did they practice in the book of Acts? Yes, Peter did. Acts 2, 14. Acts 3, Acts 4, 4. Look at Acts 8, verse 4. That's when Stephen was murdered, and then they began to go around persecuting Christians, so they all fled from Jerusalem. So the apostles waited, and the others, who were not the apostles in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere preaching the word. Look at Acts 11. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. So they went around preaching. So what other meetings can we have? We're going out to preach. We're going out to reach the unsaved. It's not a department, though. It's all believers. So, a local church serves you the purpose of Christ, one, when it teaches you the word regularly. Number two, when you are made to pray. Two, when you are also made to what? Reach the unsaved. Number four. Now, when that happens, let me just add this. We'll have what you call healing services as well, where both believer and unbeliever can also receive healing in their bodies. Luke 5:17, as Jesus taught, was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Acts 8:5-6, Philip also did miracles, signs and wonders in Samaria. Can go on and on, Acts 19:11, so there'll be healing meetings. Now, quickly let me add this. People have asked, and we've taught this, and I know some months to come, we're going to have a material on this well, on who is the deacon. Now, there are practices that have gone on for long that is just because people didn't bother to check. You've had people say, call people bishops. So who is a bishop? Now, I don't have a problem with those who are bishops. Please don't misquote me. This is not about anybody. This is just teaching scripture. The bishop in the scripture is the elder and is the pastor. Episcopos, Presbyterian, and Poimen, they are all describing the same function. But you know, there's a practice today where you say a bishop is the pastor of pastors. Well, that's not in the Bible. And who is the archbishop? The archbishop of scripture is actually Jesus, but it's not unlikely today we have archbishop as being the senior pastor. But the point is, that word is used for the overseeing elder. Now, pay attention to something. You also have the word deacon. So who is a deacon? So the deacon are businessmen in the congregation who don't like to preach or pray or flow with the Holy Ghost. But they spend money and they're elderly. There's nothing like that in scripture. Who is a deacon? It's the word diaconia. The diaconia, the assistant or the one who serves. Who does he serve? The deacon is actually like the associate pastor. It's like an elder in training. That's why if you look at 1 Timothy 3, the qualifications for a bishop and a deacon are one and the same, except to teach and to rule. Why? Because he's still in training to teach and to rule. But then 1 Timothy says, if even without being given the opportunity to rule, he must handle the mystery of faith well. 1 Timothy 3:9. If he has now purchased the office of a bishop, of deacon well, he has purchased himself a good degree. 1 Timothy 3:13. Which means that it's a proving office. Where we prove you before we now put you over people. So the deacon is not, and in doing that, he will handle natural things. Alright? That's why you'll find out that Stephen and Philip went to preach. Stephen went to preach. The first set of people we found like that, they were preaching Acts 6, went to preach. So, there is no responsibility in the body of Christ that excludes anybody from preaching or from praying. There's none. Whatever responsibility you are given must include preaching and praying. I just added that. We'll expand on that much later. Now, the last kind of meetings, or the third, fourth kind of meetings of faith now, will be the Holy Ghost meetings. Holy Ghost meetings is where, for example, we come together as believers and we have the demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Now when the Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, the rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were seated. And they appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like a fire sat upon each of them. And they were all, verse 4, filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. So everybody now begins to function in the things of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:24-26, Paul says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? And every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So we have such meetings where we come together and then we have the utterance gifts and revelation gifts and also the power gifts in demonstration. So those are key meetings. Well, I'm going to mention the last one, but that's as we proceed further. Now, let me ask you a question. Of all these meetings that we have highlighted, which one does the believer not need? Huh? Which one doesn't he need? I got that question wrong. Which one can a believer choose not to attend? None. So, if you are a disciple, is there any of these meetings that is optional? The teaching meeting? Prayer meeting? Talk to me? Evangelistic meetings? Holy Ghost meetings? None. So to be a true disciple of Christ, you will be found in all of these meetings. Now, you see how we are in this auditorium? But let me say something. You know, this is how, see, that place is full, that one is full, even outside is full. Is there a meeting that shouldn't be like this? That means every meeting, if everyone under my voice is a true disciple of Christ, then they ought to come like this for every prayer meeting. Can I have an amen? What about a Holy Ghost meeting? What about evangelistic meeting? You ought to be there. So if we have a service and just half of us are here, that means the other half are not sitting at his feet. They are taking it as an option. There is no optional meeting I mentioned. None of them is optional. We have an idea that the only service you have to attend is Sunday. Says who? There's a way tradition can make you make something true. There's no scripture that says church must meet on Sunday. No. In fact, the Bible says as often as you. The history of the Ephesian church, the church of Ephesus, was such that for 3.5 years, Paul actually taught them daily. I did some study on that and I said, was that possible? They said exactly that was what happened. That means for 3.5 years, they met every day. And you know, Paul, in Ephesus, alright, was working for a living. He didn't have a church office. Which means everybody would go to work and come back in the evenings. And they will hear God's word. They will pray. Unlike now that we have prayer meetings, teaching meetings, and we split them far apart. There are all many times they do them together. So, which means that the first thing I need to realize about church meetings they are not optional. I don't select A or B. No, it's A and B. If you are in one accord, you will be in the service, in that place. So, there is no optional meeting. For example, the instruction to pray. Some people do not think they have to be in prayer meetings. They don't think so. They think that's a prayer meeting now. Even, I know we've made things very easy for people in the modern church. We say workers. So I'm not yet a worker. Listen to yourself. When should a believer be a worker? When should a believer start to work in the house of God? As soon as he's saved. You are sure? Who doesn't think so? So we all think so. How come all of us have not been to the membership classes? How come if we have a workers' meeting after this service, some of you will have left? That means you are deliberately disobeying Jesus. Because you know the truth. You know the truth. So there is no time. Oh, when I now, I'm taking my time. Why not? You see some believers, they are grandbrothers in the body of Christ. You know what a grandbrother is? You know, there's brother, there's grandbrother. They have been saved since the day of Pentecost. Some people were there when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. They are here. Their spirit man is already using walking stick. Very old spirit. That was the way we used to disguise some believers and say, that guy's spirit has grown mustache. Don't mind us then. You are an old believer, yet as old as you are, you will never change. Brethren, as old as you are, that song is like it. You will never change. After every service, you just be going out. So why are you not waiting? I have not a worker. What did you say? I have not a worker. What are you? You are a worker. Why don't you attend prayer meetings during the week? Why? And in this community church, we made it such that there's not one single prayer meeting every day of the week. Even the president of Nigeria, he goes for his Friday prayers. How busy can you get? Who are you presiding over? The president, the governors, the president of America. He goes for services. Even terrorists pray. Who are always on the alert? You say you are very busy. And what are you? Deputy junior manager. Using official car. So what should the owner of business do? He should be living in the cloud. You are only a backslider. That's it. In your university days, in your college days, in your polytechnic days, you were fervent. Now, you are put on weight. Lay aside every weight. And that sin that does so easily beset you, why are you not in prayer meetings? Monday, you are not there. Tuesday, you are not there. Thursday, you are not there. Friday, you are not there. Saturday morning, early morning. And you go for wedding. Not your own, no. You go for burial. People that have died. Saturday evening. So people can go for four events. Saturday morning. Four! Pre-engagement. Engagement. Traditional. Church service. Reception. After reception party. And they will never be tired. But it's only one service on Sunday. Half of second service. As soon as service is over, as soon as they say, maybe we are singing, precious Jesus, we thank you for, I remember, amen, have a great week. They dash through the door like there's a spirit pursuing them. Brother, see you later. I'm going somewhere. You're always going somewhere. Who's pursuing you? Prayer meetings are for all believers. What did I say? If you go to a church where prayer meeting is optional for you, it's not yet the church of Christ. It's a promise-free church of Christ. Acts 1. All the believers, in one accord, verse 14, they prayed. Acts 2:42. All the believers prayed. I told you, Acts 3:1. They went to the temple in the hour of prayer. That means that the church had a time they were praying. Hour of prayer. In Saints Community Church, it's every day, 6 p.m. 6:30 a.m. on Saturday and 6 p.m. on Saturdays. After second service also on Sundays. Those are the hours of prayer. You will now pick the one that you attend. But you must be there. No, you attend when you are led. I think I'm led to pray this week. You and your lead and copper come together. No, you go. Acts 4:22. Everybody, verse 23 to 24, sorry. They lifted up their voice in one and everybody prayed. Acts 12:5. The whole church was praying. Look at all the instructions of prayer. Romans 12:12. Romans 15:31. Ephesians 6:19. Colossians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 and 2 is for all saints. So if all saints should pray, all saints should be in prayer meetings. So there is no optional one. So don't think that you have fulfilled all righteousness when you attend a Sunday service. It's just one of many meetings that you should attend. Are you following what I'm saying here? Holy Ghost meeting, be there. We have camp meetings where we organize it. To be taught the word and to all the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, you must be there. You should be there. We have times where we have healing meetings. How many of you know that we had healing meetings last week? Is it last week? Is it last week? The week before. How many of you know we had healing meetings? Praise the Lord. How many of you saw blind eyes open in your meeting? How many of you did? How many of you saw deaf ears unstopped in your meetings? How many of you saw people who couldn't walk, walk? Put it up where now? Are you not sure? Is it you? How many of you saw miracles of people discharged from the hospitals? Raise your hand. So, if that took place and you were not there, why were you not there? It's part of your discipleship. To learn how to pray for the sick. How to minister to the sick. To exercise boldness. Discipleship is not you coming to be healed in a service. Then the pastor is the man of God. The man of God. Say, come and see my pastor. Ah! One blow, seven die. My pastor is supernatural bulldozer of the body of Christ. Discipleship, what Christ does, you do it. So, there's no meetings you should exempt yourself from. You should be in all meetings. Look at Acts 6. Now here, for example, we have a leadership training academy. Now, it's not a Bible school in that sense. Because what they teach and what they feed upon is what you are listening to. There's nothing in the school that is not in the services. The only difference is we pay more attention to the ability to know it, practice it, and teach it. And so, people like that, why do we do that? Now, look at Acts 6. When there was a requirement for more people to be involved in food distributions. The apostle said, look amongst yourselves. Acts 6, verse 3. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I want you to observe something. I want you to observe something very vital here. If you look at the number so far, we had at least 8,000. 3,000, Acts 2:41. 5,000, Acts 4:4. Yet, what number did they ask them to look for? Seven. It's not seven number of perfection, no. Which means, leadership is not tea party. You'll have wondered, what number of people? They should have at least looked for 100 or 200 people. No. At that stage of the church in Jerusalem, things were too early to choose leaders in such multiple numbers. I always tell pastors, leadership cannot be mass produced. That's why they said, look at the things they are to look out for. Seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Isn't that supposed to be spiritual growth? That means that ought to be the life of every believer. So that means the people that were chosen were exemplary. So when we choose people like that, it's not to distinguish people in the congregation. It is to make some the models, the examples of what others should be. Because in true discipleship, everyone receives the word of Christ and then the ministry of Christ. You cannot live the Christian life without the ministry of Christ. It's not possible. Christ is our Savior because He's the servant. Take ministry away from Jesus, then there's nothing in the four Gospels. Take service away, then there's no death for our sins. So, in other words, true discipleship will lead to service. Just like that Acts 6. So, there are no meetings. Every meeting, if you're a pastor, hear this. Every meeting is a discipleship meeting. Now, there are also times where we come, or after we have come, which is actually what happens, where we now fellowship together. Acts 2:42, they said they had fellowship, prayers, and breaking of bread. Which means they will come together to eat together. Now the Jews did have that culture of interacting among brethren. They will eat together. You found it in Luke 10. Jesus also ate in the house of Mary and Martha. In Luke 17, yep. He ate also in the house of Zacchaeus. So it's a mode of fellowship. But notice that in all the instances, there was the sharing of the word of God. So it wasn't like partying. No. So it was part of fellowship. We're teaching God's word. We're asking questions. We're praying together. And obviously, when that's done, they'll eat together. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul now says, and the reason why that was done, it was to achieve oneness. Because eating with people in the Jewish culture meant that you are one. That's why when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, they said he went to eat with the Gentiles. That means he's identifying with the Gentiles. Now, in today, it might not just be food. It might just be the fact that, we go home together in the same car to show just fellowship and oneness. It might just be that, we visit with each other. Just to show that oneness. Now, Paul now gives a warning in 1 Corinthians 11. When such instances where food was shared, for example, some who had did not share with those who didn't have. Paul now says, when you come together, and then there are those who are hungry, and they go home hungry. 1 Corinthians 11:22. He says, this is a shame. So he says, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God? That is, the essence of coming to eat and drink is to identify with the church. So if you are bringing food and you alone are eating it, then you are despising that church. So don't you have houses where you can eat and where you can drink? The reason for bringing it into meetings is to what? Fellowship. Now, I swear this in the first service, I said, the apostles now said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and what? That means in priority, prayer and the word, then all those other natural things come afterwards. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. Good. So you can't say, oh, because there's breaking of bread, then you now be using most of your meetings to be eating and whining. No, no, you are joking. It's a secondary meeting among believers, but a vital one as well. For believers to be able to identify with one another. So there should be times like that where we just, you know, eat with one another, fellowship with one another. Like I mentioned, just going home together. Say, I don't have a car, you have a car, we go home together. It's that fellowship that we have found, seeing the oneness that we have in Christ. Can I have an amen to that? Alright, so, now, what is expected of me in church meetings? I already know it's not optional. What is expected of me? The first thing, be punctual. What did I say? Be punctual. Be a person that keeps to time. Because we now know church meetings are by instructions. That means I cannot decide when the church will meet. It has to be those who are over the church, just like the apostles, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 through the book of Acts, who will decide? Sundays and Tuesdays. They choose such days for believers to meet. Now what do? I keep the time. And so I'm there at the right time. Punctuality is a virtue of Christianity. Be there. Don't walk in. Don't despise the church. Don't treat the church as if it's of no importance. Don't handle the church like, well, it's just church now. It's just church. Look at Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's 6 a.m. 6 a.m. in the morning. Which means that's the time of the meeting. They were all where? They are all where? In one accord, in one place. Can we say they all got there at the right time? Can we say nobody was late? Can we say that? Everyone was there. You have to learn to be punctual. Be there. Let me ask you. If you came 3 hours late for that meeting, what would you have met? If you came 1 hour, you don't have all the time. So when we say 6 p.m., be there. Now I realize that we have days like this where we all have to work. Work hours has changed over the years. When I was younger, they used to close offices about banks by 2. See, 1 or 2, because I remember my dad would be home by 4. He was a banker. But now, I think offices close sometimes 5, sometimes 6. So sometimes, well, during the week, we could say, well, because of your work exigencies, you could understand you're not being able to make the 6 p.m. services, which is late enough. But hey, what about Sundays? Why would you be late on a Sunday? What would be the reason? And also a prayer meeting day that you chose by yourself. Saturday morning, Thursday evening, because you found it, this is a convenient time. Being late is despising that meeting. Get there on time. As an invited minister, ask those who invite me to preach. I don't get late to meetings. And I stick to the time I'm giving. I used to be a flowing with the Holy Spirit preacher. In 1998, I pastored for some people. I pastored the church. It wasn't the church I founded, but I was called to pastor the church. So I took over the pastorate of the church. I left it May 2098. I just handed it over. Now, in that church, because I came from another place where we had the hall to ourselves, community town hall. So our Holy Ghost doesn't stop until about 10 p.m. So that day they now came and showed me the bill for the month. So I discovered that the time by 12 o'clock, they will bill us for one more extra day. So if you like, let the Holy Ghost stop 12:05. It is still going to be one extra day. So from that point, my Holy Ghost was punctual. Very punctual Holy Ghost. And I learned also, if they give me, some of you have probably seen me preach elsewhere. If they give me 1 hour, 10 minutes to preach, by 1 hour, 8 minutes, most of the time I'm done. It's unfaithfulness. You see, time is an asset. Be a steward of time. Be there at the right time. You know, in Matthew 26, Jesus took his disciples to go and pray. And he told them, let us pray. Yes, Pastor. Oh, yes. Some people, let's pray. You know this one is. Oh, yes. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Father. He came back and saw them. All the three. Groanings we cannot be uttered. I've seen people snore loud in prayer meetings. There was a guy like that in the one Holy Ghost meeting we had. He fell under the power. Then he slept off. Then he started snoring. It became very embarrassing. And we're not many, maybe like 10. He said, please, this guy is disgracing our Holy Ghost. Jesus came back to this guy and they were dozing. The Bible said they were in heavy sleep. Those guys slept a lot. You know in Matthew 17 too, when he took them to the mountain, that's how they slept. Then they woke up as about time we were calling the first timers. Because Moses and Elijah were first timers. So, let us welcome them. Three tabernacles. People can sleep for the body of Christ. You know, when Jesus was sleeping, they were praying. When they were sleeping, he was praying. They only knew to pray when there was problems. Lord, care us not that we perish. That's how they needed to pray. But he was praying when there were no problems. And when there was a problem, he was sleeping. That should say something to you. So, he got back to them and said, can't you tie me for 1 hour? 1 hour! I remember I heard Pastor Louis Johnson say this sometimes in the early 90s. He said, when he read that, it meant that at least a church should pray 1 hour. I said, that's true. Because Jesus actually mentioned one. By the time he came the third time, at that point, they were not, you know, if you have slept 2 hours, there's this freshness. Now I'm ready to pray. He said, that time has passed. Sleep on. The day God tells you to keep sleeping. Armageddon has come. He said, that time has passed. Which means, you must respect the time for things. You can't pray at your own time. You can't come to church at your own time. Now, imagine If we all got to church at the times that we wanted, those in the music team, they chose to come in 1 hour, 30 minutes after. No, they can't even come together. Somebody comes 7:30, somebody comes 8:30, somebody comes, they just come in. Oh yeah. The technical people, everybody just comes at different times. And then, even the pastor chooses, let me just come 2 hours after. So we all come in and say, what's going on here now? Madness. It's a madness. If everyone entered the time you entered, I know now we come in at the right time because of the sun. But why do you need us to shut the door? You don't need to. Just come in on time. Come in on time. The service is 7:30. Respect the church. You are a disciple. You don't choose when to come to church. A church where you have to choose what to do is not your church. Someone told me once, I said, you know, the way your services are, I said, do you have to come? I said, no, boy, you teach us the word ahead, that's why you should listen to me. You don't have to come. I said, was your seat empty when you came the week after? He said, no. You don't tell us what to do. You are learning. Get there on time. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, we were all in one place. In one accord. One accord means we got there at the right time. Hallelujah. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. What was Jesus teaching them? Alertness. Those who came after were shut out. Alertness. So, two key words in the book of Acts, pay attention. One accord in one place, that's one. Then steadfastness. You cannot be steadfast if you're always coming late. Get there on time. And I'm not just talking about Sunday services or Wednesday services, even your zonal meetings. Even if you are called to preach somewhere, be there on time. Be punctual. Whatever you get late for, you don't respect. Be there. At the right time. Some of us, we are late to church because we have no responsibilities. But why shouldn't you have responsibilities? Be there on time. And be steadfast. Are you listening? Hope you are listening to this. Good. Number two. Be orderly. Be orderly. You know, Paul wrote instructions to the church in Corinth. And he told them what to do. Orderliness means that we're taking instructions. He said, I will that you all speak with tongues, but more that you prophesy. I will. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. So when you come together, he's not giving a suggestion. In 26, every one of you has, let all things be done to a divine. Say, if you have a tongue, let it be by two or spoken by three. Let one interpret. If you have no interpretation, keep quiet. That is orderliness. That means when we come, how do we behave? We are orderly. We do the right thing at the right time. Let's lift our hands and worship God. Or let us pray. Let's hold someone's hand. Let us pray. You don't hold anybody's hand. Let us pray. You just say, Adonai. No, brother. You are unruly. Sometimes you say, let everybody get up. Some people will just sit down. I don't know what to call them. You just sit down. Why? Because they are big men or women? Or because they are ancient of days? Why would you sit down? Yet, they'll go for an interview. Sometimes even Ethiopian embassy. And you say, everybody sit down here. And they all sit down. They will sit down. I remember one of Nigeria's governors was, the picture were shown, well, pictures were shown how he had to remove his shoes in an airport in America, and then he removed his belt. They say, ah, this guy is humble. I say, humble? No, he has to. he's not humility at all. He has to. He has to. I've flown with some governors before, and they will comport themselves in holiness. Nations where they don't look at witches' face. They don't send you. Don't you get it? You go for a job interview. They'll say, sit down there. You sit down. One small girl. Oh no, you come. You the one? Okay. And I've been calling you since. I didn't hear. Okay. You didn't submit your passport. It's there. Don't come close. I didn't ask you to come. I know, sorry. You behave yourself. You don't say, what is it? I don't need your job. You behave yourself. You just sit there and say, no, if you know who is me. You behave. They say, fill your name. You fill your name. You don't put, they say, put your age. You don't say adult. Eh? You say, 48 years, 62 weeks, or 60, or 4 months. You almost put the hour you were born. Looking for a job desperately. People going to catch flights. They are running. Have you ever gotten to some of those airports in the evening on maybe Fridays or Sunday evenings? People get out from the car on that bridge. When they are coming to church, they are catwalking. They are on the wrong way. The usher will say, please sit there. Why? I prefer this place. Okay? Say, please, sir. Young girl. Your carnality is smelling. Sit down there! If you want to use your age, go to your house. Sit down there. If everybody behaves like you, some people sit here now. Why are you sitting here? That's why I'm led to sit in this service. So you say, there's the keyboard. So, is it not the body of Christ? Be orderly. That thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself. In the house of God. In the church of the living God. Where you should comport yourself the most is here. Do not behave yourself elsewhere. There was a friend of mine. We were walking, we were taking a walk. We went from TBS. We're just walking around. So we go to this governor's house or something. And there were soldiers there. You know, soldiers don't really listen well. They just manifest. So, we had just passed by a place. We just walked loosely. So we don't look back. Somebody else passed by and told the guys to be doing front jump. He said, Shegu, that's where we passed by. I said, I'm looking at what you're looking at. And suddenly he just was looking back, behaving himself. I hope we're still far away. And I said, don't worry, we are far from away. You know? And then you come to church thinking so. That's bad behavior. That's bad behavior. That's bad behavior. Very bad. Some will want you to know. Say, they say, sit down there and say, well, go and tell Pastor Chris. I am, you know, is in Nigeria you hear Professor Doctor? I don't know what that means. How can you be Professor Doctor? And that's very odd. A professor naturally should be Professor Doctor. We like titles though. Titles. Even preachers don't like ordinary pastor or reverend. They say, Reverend John Mark Milan, the bridge of the charismatic gifts and the voice of this generation. Who like those? The voice of the generation. Or the lion of the tribe. Of Christocentric. Or the apostle of grace. Or the messenger of the covenant. You will soon become Jesus Christ. You not come to church and say, please, can you park your car? They say, go and tell your pastor. Just don't even say everything. Just say, Apostle Thomas. You will ask me to park in the service. What a shame. What a shame. Jesus said, when you get to a place, don't ask to be put in front. Stay at the back. So that they can bring you forward. Say, or else they can bring you back. I remember one time. You know the story. I went to preach somewhere with a brother in our fellowship. This was in 1996. And usually I used to go very casually. We used to deliberately not dress well. Because we used to say that it is not in the collar, it's in the collar. Just some very... So I just go casually. So he followed me. But he was with me. He didn't invite him. He wore a 3-piece suit. You know when you call somebody Indira Gandhi? He was well kitted up. So we got to the meeting. So they thought he was a guest minister. They took him forward. And he followed them. So he said, now we now want to call on the United Minister. They now mention my name. At least he's not born twice. he doesn't have two heads to answer my name. That's when I was like, oh. So I went forward. Then I looked at him. They had to now move him back. I've gone to the vigil I preached for in 94. They didn't know I was invited minister. So I went there early. So they were arranging the chairs. I was saying, brother, if you want to help us, move that table away. I said, sorry. So when the video started and I began to preach, he kept looking. Ah, is that not this? You know, I came to apologize. I said, you shouldn't apologize. You not behave like that to anybody at all. Some of you, you'll be passing like this. You will push me. Me, oh. You know, someone will say, Pastor, sorry. Should you do that to anybody at all? So he said, you know what, you hypocrite. You should not do that to anybody. Be orderly. Hallelujah. How do I prepare for a church service? I should pray. Did you pray before you got to this service? You prayed. Pray. Most of you see the things I post on Facebook. I've been posting that on Facebook for 9 years. No. 10 years, actually. It is Sunday. And I give instructions. Thank you for sharing it. But please, do it. Before the service, pray. It's not only the pastor that should pray. You too, pray. Pray that polite prayer. Pray all the prayers for yourself. That's how to attend church. You know, if you are going for a business meeting, you don't have to pray. You can pray too and say, God, take control. All those good, good African prayers. But, if you are going for a church meeting, learn to pray. Pray. What you pray about, you are prepared for. Pray. Let me say something. If Jesus could pray, the day he was to be killed. He was going to be killed. Why would you not pray before a service? Those who lead our songs. I told the leaders of all the churches. If you are not consistent in prayer meetings, you can't lead songs here. If you are not doing fine in your study group, you got no disciples. You don't preach the gospel. If you like, let your voice be on the 30th octave. Go and sing for Guinness. You have to learn to pray. And pray. A lady joined the church years ago. Her voice was very good. But she wasn't allowed to sing. Because she never used to pray. Pray before the service. Second thing. Study the notes. Since you know it's a teaching service. Last week's notes. Listen to it. I oftentimes attend some meetings in America. Some in Nigeria. Before the next session, I'll have read or listened to the teaching of the session before. It's just a culture. My dad, this is academics, but my dad, he was a first class degree holder and excellent, brilliant student he was. And he attended the purported Great Ife. The alleged, sorry. He was very proud of the school for whatever reasons. Now, he even had a record that wasn't broken for many years. He said that he had a culture. I discovered that when he couldn't read for 1 hour. So I asked him, how did you make a first class? He said, I knew I couldn't read for 1 hour. So by the time he gets to 15 minutes, he shuts down. But he can do that 5 times a day. He said, then I ensured that after every lecture, I'll study the notes. And before the lecture, the next lecture, I would have read it. And he never used to read overnight. So that just was for me a culture of discipline. Just keep at it. Before the service, go through it. Don't forget, pray. Study the notes. Before the services, after the services. Don't just write notes. Some of you, I'll see your notes. How would you forget your notes in the service? What did you write it for? Is it the law of Moses? Is it on stones? Pray. Study the notes. Also, when you are coming for a service, what are you giving? You know, giving is also an instruction. 1 Corinthians 16:1. You are instructed to give. Galatians 6:6. It's an instruction. So, as you are preparing, you studied your notes, you are praying, you are preparing to give. That's how disciples are taught. That's how they grow. What am I giving? You know, really, and this is just an observation. We really don't have to be doing extra teachings when we want to give offering. There should be no reason for it. Every believer should know when you come to church, you give. So before you say, every time, blessed time, sit down first. You know, Solomon was a great man. Do you know why it was great? God showed me something last night about Solomon. What's God showing you? He was a diet giver. Listen. There are some keys you cannot have. There are some connections. Listen. There are laws. Unbelievers can practice them. They are shaking. They are shaking. Help me your pulse. Because you also want to be great. The person that wants to die has made the one that wants to kill him. Giving doesn't make you anything more than a child of God. Do you know why we give? We give to reflect God's character. That's all. Let me say it again. We are giving because we are God's children. We are reflecting His character. That is all. All those MMM giving. Why are you giving? To reflect what? God's character. That's all. And God's character is not transactional giving. It's generosity. So, I read my notes. I pray. What else? I prepare what to give. I also expect to receive God's word. That's why I will take a note to church. I will take something to write. I want to give. I also want to receive. I'll receive God's word. I'll receive instructions. I'll receive miracles too. If I'm sick in my body, I'll be healed. I'll receive word of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit. minister to me. I must expect to receive. What else? Hear this. I must also expect to change. Via the instructions. I want to go to church. After each service, I change into that Christ-likeness. The vision of the gospel implants more in my heart. My conduct reflects what I'm listening to. I must expect to change. There's a difference between going to church and going to movies. I must expect to change. I must expect my character in God's word to be formed again and again. Church isn't to manage me. Church is to change me. I must expect to also learn and study. That's why when they open many verses, that's part of why we do church. So say, I don't like that church. They just open the Bible, open the Bible, open the Bible. Is it a Bible school? I mean, what some of us who are not interested in Bible study, we just want to know God. We're not interested in Bible study, we want to know God. If I want to do Bible, I'll go to seminary now. I want to come to church. Content, read that. In one chapter, it's 50 verses. What's that? Me that have a business deal tomorrow, I'm looking for a word from heaven. I want a man of God that will download from heaven. I will upload. Your carnality is not in the Bible. In the lost books. I expect to study. When I was attending the church like that, I would go with a diary and three translations. Now, today you guys have, these three translations. And I'll sit down. In front. Sometimes the pastor is intimidated. Now, who is he? There was a meeting myself and my friend attended. And we all came in with Bible translations. Some of you guys also get concordance. And we entered. And we sat down. So the guy that was supposed to preach heard that we were there. He didn't come. I know the person still now. He didn't come. See? The three of them, they said, no. So now he can't. He said, no. Now that's not what I'm talking about. But you come with writing materials. You come and learn. I remember the story Reverend Tunde Jordan told one time that he went for a Kenneth Hagin meeting. So he was in the audience. Then he saw Kenneth Copeland. So he said he was just there. He was just saying, glory. That's right. Brother Hagin was teaching. Then he looked beside him. Was Kenneth Copeland taking notes on a teaching he had heard Brother Copeland himself teach. He said he almost could not sleep. You know, that's the right attitude. To the glory of God, I think I've been teaching the Bible for a few years. But I don't go anywhere without wanting to learn. I don't go anywhere. Why did I go there if I cannot learn? What did I go there to do? Even if it's a Chelsea game. This is our month. We will settle it. You know, we have settled it before in the FA Cup. We will resettle the matter. Let's leave it at that. Lest you say I'm boasting. Say we're going to Baku. So, when you go to church, you are preparing to study. To study. I always say that a heretic preacher is oftentimes a product of a lazy congregation. Now, look at the discipline we give you here. You know it's difficult to come and just say anything. It's difficult. Which of the teachings can I deny now? That were well done. We talked about it together. You can't deny it. That's why I told you, if you come here and I'm preaching and I'm making a boast of material things, don't come the next Sunday. Oh. If you come the next Sunday, it's your problem. If you see me start using people who have risen in the society as testimonies of our ministry, don't, in fact, if you can just sneak out, say you are going to toilet. and just bam, bam, escape. You know how Lot's wife did not look back?
Don't look back.
That man, you can be praying for me from afar, but don't come. I must have lost it. You are here to study. You are here to pray. You are here to minister the things of God. You are here to be changed in your character. You are here to fellowship with other believers. You are not here to show off. Nobody should show off, from pastor to congregation. The church is not the world. Did you hear me? Let's go on. Prepare to study. Prepare to change and be strengthened. Prepare to be filled with the Spirit. I begin to close from here. Prepare to share with other believers. You know, you can make your car such that on Sundays, you can come alone, but you don't go alone. Drop people. Of course, don't drop people that you don't know. When people come for help, say, I said, which fellowship do you attend? Someone say, I attend the one they meet in VI. It's not VI, it's VLEG. Just like that. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, prepare to share with other believers. Don't just leave the service. Be part of the service. Be part of the church. Hallelujah. How can you be a member of the church? You don't pray together. You don't study together. You don't go out to share the gospel together. As Paul, as the writer of Hebrews said, not forsaking the assembly of one another as the manner of some. Let's have a right attitude to church. So on Wednesday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, whatever meetings you have this week, before you go pray, look through the notes of the last week. Don't forget. Be there on time and be orderly. Be orderly. Be orderly. Pray. What are you giving? What are you expecting to receive? What are you expecting to learn? Your character formed. So whatever you do, you're a businessman, you're a career person, you're a parent, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're someone's sibling, the doctrine will now reflect in your life. As you carry the life of Christ, as you are taught to your world, then discipleship is going on. Don't forget, there are those who come to hear the word. There are those who sit at his feet to be trained by the word. Have you learned something? Hallelujah.